Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Before I start, I actually wanted to take a moment to thank you all for being here, for having been on this journey with me up until now, and for all the new people that are subscribing to this podcast all the time. I am so grateful for you. This month, June, marks 1 year of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast, which I am extremely proud of, and I am really happy to having been on this journey together with all of you, and I'm looking forward to more. So yeah, I just wanted to say that, and thank you everyone for having been here with me up until this point, and for I know you will be here for the future. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that. And now let's get into the topic of today. 3 steps of reclaiming yourself as a daughter of a narcissistic mother. And I want to start with asking you, do you ever feel like you have no idea who you are? Are there any moments in your day when you're like, I really have no idea? Is this happening more and more since you have learned about maternal narcissism and started your healing journey? Have you noticed an increase in this feeling? Does this feel confusing and uncomfortable? If you're nodding right now thinking, yes, this is exactly how I feel, I really get it. I have been there and still am, as I'm going to share in a minute. And you're so not alone in this. So I want you to know that, because this is one of the questions I actually have received the most via email and message during the past year, is am I the only one experiencing this? And you definitely are not. This is very common amongst daughters of narcissistic mothers. You are absolutely not alone. So being brought up by a narcissistic mother stifles the natural development of your identity. As a child, you had to learn very soon how to maintain your attachment needs, how to make sure those were met, prioritizing them over authenticity. What does that mean? If, for example, crying felt authentic to you, as it happens to every child, of course, there are moments where a child feels like crying, and they have their reasons for that. But you knew you were going to be punished, maybe, or rejected in any other way for it. One coping strategy you may have learned very early on, could be to suppress your tears and get on with it. Until you may have gotten to the point of defining yourself as someone who doesn't cry. This characteristic becoming a part of what I refer to as your pretend identity. And you might even go all the way and judge very harshly people who cry easily, because in truth, they may be triggering you in that part of you that didn't feel allowed to be authentic since you were a child. But this happens in the subconscious, so not being aware of it, we tend to judge people that go where we didn't feel allowed to go. And that part inside desperately wants to go there, but the trauma doesn't allow you to go there. And so we end up judging others that can do that. I speak more about the pretend identity in episode 39, 4 steps to reclaim your identity as a daughter of a narcissistic mother. So after this, if you want to hear more about that, you can go and listen to that episode. What is the actual result of all of this? That you may be a full grown up, looking at your life, and suddenly you have no idea of who you are anymore. All the things that you were very certain about yourself in this healing journey that you're going on, all of a sudden don't feel that certain anymore. and you really feel like you don't know who you are anymore. You might question why you have the job you have, or why you chose the studies you are on, or how you've ended up in the relationship you're in, or even what food you like the most, or where you want to live. And I could go on. This literally spreads into every single aspect of your life. When you start on this healing path from maternal narcissism, from having had a narcissistic mother and having lived with that as a child, you have not had the chance to actually really explore and experiment with who you are. So everything has been the result of some kind of coping strategy. And there's like little hints of you here and there, but they're like really hidden. I know in my own journey, it was amazing to see how all pervasive this was in my life. So how did it get to this point? How do we get to this point where we have no idea who we are? And there can be different ways this happened. I'll just name a few here, but you have your own unique version of how this went for you, of course. So maybe your mother got abusive, either physically or emotionally, when you tried to express anything that was yours. So you've learned not to, and to comply with what was accepted, and that created your pretend identity. Maybe you were the golden child, and you lived with that pressure, so you couldn't ever take a step off the approved path and experiment with yourself to learn who you were and who you are. Or you would have lost that approval and the love of your mother, because the role of the golden child is as challenging as any other. Maybe you wanted validation and attention from a mother that neglected you and did not give you what you needed. So you've learned what worked to get that attention. That was very much part of my own experience. Maybe you've observed your mother criticizing anything different than what she approved of. So you made yourself fit the mold. Does any of this resonate? Does any of this feel like, oh God, that kind of describes me? Or maybe more than one. I know for me there's a bit of a few, it's not just one thing. If it does, make sure to be very kind with yourself. You have done nothing wrong. This is important. All of what I just described happens subconsciously while we're growing up. Those are coping strategies that allowed us to survive to this point. So it was a very skillful way to go about it in an environment that was toxic in so many ways. This goes on to the point when you realize how enmeshed you are with your mother and how toxic the relationship has been. You start a journey of healing all of that, and you realize that you know yourself very little, if not at all. And this definitely was my experience. I was so sure of who I was. I had to be. With my mother, there was no space for self-doubt. There was no space for confusion. If ever I was not convinced of something, that was getting very, very, very emotionally difficult with her. So I had to be. And I created a pretend identity that was like really strong and so deeply rooted. Until I started on this journey and everything crumbled and it has been uncomfortable to say the least. But it's gone in waves of it. We're going to talk about it in a minute. But to give you a very recent example in my own life, so just the other day, literally, I saw a movie trailer that I thought could be interesting, got all excited, until I recognized the main actor, who I really don't like. So I went to my husband feeling this uncontrollable need to say how much I didn't like said actor. I needed to say it out loud. It was actually really funny. If one doesn't know and is not trauma-informed and doesn't understand what's happening behind the scenes, the actual thing in itself would have been incredibly amusing. So I had to say it out loud. And it came to me as I was doing this, and my husband held space for me. He was fine with me needing to express all of this. It came to me then that the actor in question is one of my mother's favorites. Not a coincidence there. And that if I had been around her in the past, as I'm no contact now, so I am not, but if I had been around her, I would not have been able to express my opinion. And if I did, it would have been labeled as ridiculous, it would have been laughed at, judged, criticized, whatever. Like, how could you possibly not like him? I mean, come on. What's wrong with you? Or anything like that. So I would have just either agreed with her, and if she went on saying how she liked this actor and how great he was and whatever, I would have just probably agreed and went, oh yeah, totally. But as a child, that was a mechanism. I did that to the point that it became my taste. It became my opinion. I would go around describing who is your favorite actor or who is the type of man you like, giving a set of characteristics that I really believed was what I liked. So this led me in the same day, like the other day, to start realizing actually the set of characteristics that make the type of man I like. Which my husband was glad to hear because she has them all, so he was relieved. And he was amused by my enthusiasm in sharing all of this. But it felt so good to know. It's like in my bones that was I was that what I was expressing was mine and mine alone, not my mother's in any ways. And this has been happening in waves since I started on this path, as I said. So this can seem like an incredibly ridiculous example. I mean, your favorite actor, how is that impacting your life? But that goes in everything, everything. Like, and I know if you've been through this, you're nodding now and you know what I'm talking about. It's literally everything. I'm literally sitting in my room right now as I'm recording this episode, and I'm looking around, and I'm happy because the stuff that I now have in this room where I'm currently in reflects me. But this has been a journey for a very long time. A lot of the stuff that was in my house actually had nothing to do with me, and it was all about what my mother would have approved of, would have accepted. And I believed that it was my taste, that it was my opinion, that it was my preference, but it wasn't. And there's this subconscious hidden pull towards, or inner battle actually, between wanting to be yourself and also feeling this need to be approved of and validated. That follows you even when your mother is not around, which was the most surprising thing for me. Going no contact did not get rid of that. What going no contact for me did, and this is personal, and so I'm not saying you have to go no contact. I never ever imply that that is the one solution. But what it did for me was it provided a level of safety and a space and a distance that slowly allowed me to start seeing the influence that this toxic relationship has had in everything that I surrounded myself with and how all pervasive it was. So some of these things were seemingly quite small, such as like favorite foods, favorite colors, favorite type of man. Some were pretty big, like reconsidering my entire career, like reconsidering the way I mothered my own children, and pretty big things like that. So it was all pervasive, and it still is. The path to reclaiming yourself and your own identity is an exciting one. And that I can say, because it is exciting when you start to rediscover yourself and who you are. It's like it's a beautiful feeling. It is. And yet, each way of clarity is inevitably preceded by a way of chaos and confusion. Every time. Every single time. To go through this journey successfully is essential to train yourself to surrender to the times when you feel lost, with no idea who you are or what to do. And often, things that don't truly belong to you may fall away unexpectedly, and it may feel uncomfortable when it happens, like when all my main jobs went at once around 2019, leaving me in quite the predicament, as you can imagine. I felt angry and hopeless, and I fought against it, trying to control things I couldn't control, and I struggled, and I cried, and I felt guilt and shame. And then I surrendered to it. I had no choice. And suddenly I started getting information on myself from the inside, from me, from inside. In that space of complete chaos and confusion and uncertainty, information came. Information about the why behind all that I had done so far, you know, why I had chosen whatever jobs I was doing. The answer being the need for validation and the need to avoid the constant shame I felt. And then the information about why I felt such shame came, all related to my mother and a little bit to my father too. Then the healing of it came, and then clarity on what I wanted to do. And then another wave of confusion, as the fear that blocked me became apparent. At that point, I knew what I wanted to do, but now I had to confront the fears that were there. So on in waves, in a cyclical sort of way, between clarity and confusion, and then clarity and confusion, and then clarity and confusion. Actually, I should have started with confusion, to be honest, but that's the cycle. Those are the waves. All of this leading me to now, a place where I know more about myself than I did before, and I have an exciting amount still to be discovered, always, and a place where I'm happier. So how can you get to know who you are? That's the main question, isn't it? That's another question I get very often. There are many factors at play in this journey, but here are the main steps involved in it, and there are three main steps. The first one is safety. Safety, safety, safety. The first thing that the system needs to be able to even attempt to open up this journey is to feel safe. The lack of safety in your childhood brought in your coping strategies. To be able to gently let them go, you need to feel safe. Find a container where you feel safe to open up. That's essential. And even in the right place, it still may take a while for your system to fully feel safe. So be very kind with yourself. Your system has spent so much time being constantly on guard that it takes a little while to melt that. So don't beat yourself up, and most of all, don't give up. Be kind with yourself, and this will be your ultimate foundation of safety. You know, when you're kind with yourself, how you treat yourself, that's your ultimate safety. I know we can find safety outside. We can find safety in your relationship. That was actually the foundation for me. For many years in my marriage, I didn't feel safe to express. There were different dynamics and different reasons for this, and obviously, a good part of that was also played by me in that, as in every relationship that happens. That changed, and that became a safe relationship, thanks to both my work and my husband's work on ourselves. And so that provided that safe space for me, alongside the safety of my mentor and a place where I could express. So all of that created the safe environment that I needed. It doesn't have to be like that, although relationships do help in that, as if you're lucky to have a partner that you feel safe with. This is a relational wound, so relationships do help, but it's not essential. If you can have a space where you feel safe, like a women's circle, a container with your mentor, somewhere, some little part of your life, and then from there it will expand, but you need to start from somewhere. And being kind with yourself, that inner safety, it's really, really important. Because ultimately, when you can do that, then you can feel safe everywhere. So, and it's a journey. Again, it is a journey. It doesn't just happen overnight. But safety is the first step. Finding somewhere that you can feel safe is the first step. Second step is self-inquiry. Practicing asking yourself many, many, many times a day if that part of you that is acting, speaking, expressing an opinion in the moment is indeed your voice or your mother's. And this is different than self-doubt. Okay? You're not doubting yourself, like kind of going, oh my God, am I right? Am I wrong? It's not about right or wrong. There is no right or wrong, actually. It's feeling into yourself, checking in with yourself. It's like there's an inner dialogue. There's like two, there's many parts in you, but let's narrow it down to two just for simplicity right now. There's like your voice and your mother's voice. So when something goes through your mouth or goes through your expressing, and you feel so convinced about something, about a trait of how you are or your preference or whatever, just take a moment and pause and check in. Literally check in. Check in with your part and go, did you say that? Or was that the other part speaking? Oh, okay. Then you get your answer and then you know. And at the beginning, the answer mightn't be that clear, might take a while to really start catching which are the signs in you, in your body, that tell you that that's yours versus your mother's. You might start feeling that when it's your mother's voice, there's some kind of hardness, there's shame that comes with that. There might be like tension in your body as you express those things. There might be some stuff like that with a defensiveness or whatever. Or maybe you might feel so crazy vulnerable when it's something that comes from you. So it, like, that's different for everyone. And you need, that's where you start asking yourself, not with judgment, never with judgment, but with loving curiosity. And you ask yourself, is this my voice or is this my mother's voice speaking right now? And then you start learning to feel the signs and tell the difference. And again, it's a journey. It takes a little while, but when you're in a safe environment, you can do that, and then you can start learning more and more about yourself. The third step is surrender to confusion. Literally, learn to love confusion, learn to embrace it, because like surrender is one of these words that is used oh so much in this line of work. And some people use it, and I wonder what they mean by it because I really don't go with their version of it. But what I mean here is learning to love confusion. When that inevitable wave of confusion that then precedes the wave of clarity comes, rather than resisting it and try to claw your way out and struggle against it, as if you were trying to hold the ocean back with your bare hands, learn to love it, learn to embrace it, learn to go, yes, this is amazing. Feels like shit, but I know what's coming next. This doesn't mean I'm bad. This doesn't mean I'm wrong. I shouldn't have everything under control. I shouldn't know it all straight away. There's no shoulds in here. It's fine to be in here and feel completely confused because I know that after this, what comes, it's class and amazing. And I'm looking forward to that, but I'm going to be sitting here in this confusion and be fine with it. Like, this sounds crazy, but that's literally needed. Otherwise, there's a lot of suffering because you cannot avoid those waves of confusion. The pretend identity, all of those opinions and things you formed that are not actually you, have all been put there to avoid that confusion. So if you don't embrace the confusion, you're never going to be able to get rid of those and find yourself. Confusion is part of the natural process of self-discovery. Literally, you're discovering something you didn't know before. So in the not knowing, there is confusion, inevitably. Each time a part of you thought was yours but wasn't crumbles, it inevitably leaves a void. There's a part that falls away and the void remains. And the discomfort in this comes from feeling, from the feeling of unsafety we've learned is connected to confusion. I don't know about you, but I know for my own life, it was not safe as a child not to know how to be around my mother or how to behave around her. And I know that if you've had a narcissistic mother, that's been your experience too in your personal way. So your attachment needs were straight away at risk when you were confused. And with that, your survival was at risk. That's what happened as a child. If you take the attachment away, the survival is at risk. You're not going to survive. You need your mother. You need the attachment. So we just need to figure out ways as small children to keep that attachment need at all cost. And confusion is not an option. And it was true then. It was true as a child. You did nothing wrong growing up. That was just a coping strategy and a very skillful one. So it's to be honored. Look back and honor it big time. But it's not true anymore now as an adult. As an adult now, you can surrender to these waves of confusion and go to the bottom of the ocean to collect the pearl that is there for you. A precious piece of the real you. So the step of surrendering is very important. So let's recap for a moment the three steps. Safety, self-inquiry, and surrender to confusion. These are the three steps to reclaim yourself and from there to reclaim your life. To get to know really who you are and what you want. No one else, you. And then how to go about that. And it is an exciting journey. It is the reason you're here. To live your life the way that feels best for you. And again, there's no right or wrong answers to all this self-inquiry that you're gonna go through. It's just what feels best for you. And it is with this in mind that I created a container of Reclaim Your Fullness Women's Circles. So if you would like to know more about it, you can visit my website, www.womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And all the links are anyways in the description of the episode, along with my email address for you to ask questions or share your experience with me. So you're always welcome to do that. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Remember, this is not a monologue. I absolutely love your input and I love your hearing your experience. And I absolutely love receiving your questions as this helps me knowing how to serve you best through this podcast. So with that said, I wish you a wonderful week and I send you a lot of love. Bye for now.